Welcome back to Arcade Bookshop, your podcast about video games and their literary counterparts for all of you who love to play and to read. Thanks so much for listening and joining us today. I'm Bryce Yoli. As always, I'm here with my pal and cousin-in-law, Caleb James. And today's a very special episode because we are also joined today by Adam Blank of Canada's number one video game podcast, Remember the Game.
What's up? Thanks for having me, guys. I was just saying off air. I'm like, I don't usually get to be on this side of the hosting chair. I'm excited. This is going to be fun.
Yeah, I'm excited too. It's like, it's an honor to have you here. And I know you're just a person like everybody else, but I still get that kind of starstruckness with just from, you know, I've been listening to your podcast for like last year or so. And, you know, listening to like, you have like hundreds of episodes. You listen to like 70% of somebody's podcast. They feel like a celebrity to you. So it's like,
I get it. It's always so weird. Like, I'm not trying to be like the false humility. Like, I always find it so weird. Cause you're right. Like, I'm just a dumbass in his bedroom talking video games, but I get it. Cause I listen to other podcasts and if I get to talk to one of them, I'm like, oh my God, I'm talking to the host of the show. I understand. But yeah, like I'm just an idiot. I'm just an idiot in his room with junk talking old video games. So, but thank you. That's very nice of you to
say. Well, I thought we'd just break the ice a little bit, get my shakes out, and you want to talk about Final Fantasy VII for a minute?
Yeah, fuck yeah, the new one.
Because you started playing the new one, right? Mm-hmm. I haven't played it yet. I'm like halfway through the first remake.
Okay,
and so I'm curious how Rebirth is looking, but also I just re-listened to your. You know, your review of the remake that you just re-uploaded.
Yeah.
I just wanted to talk about that first because I don't know. It seemed like the, for me, it's the side quests that are killing me. I played Seven growing up, the original, and I loved it. I really love the music. That's incredible. It's a nostalgia kick.
Yeah.
But man, I feel like for how well they did the battle system on that, every time I have to do a side quest, it takes me out so bad.
I don't disagree with you. I love the way that the music, like I could play that even if the game sucked, I could play it just to hear the remakes of the original music. Like if you grew up playing Final Fantasy VII, this remake is just, it's almost like this is what we kind of envisioned what Seven looked like playing it on the PS1. And now it actually looks that way. And hearing the music and stuff is a trip. I do agree though. Some of the side quests are the one where you have to go hunting for cats.
Yeah,
like, oh my God, dude. And it was just like, I'm like Cloud's not even my favorite character, but I'm like, I'm Cloud Strife. God damn it. Like I'm an ex-soldier beast trying to save the world, but I better go find your damn cats in this rundown shanty of a town first. I agree. Some of them turned me off. Some didn't. There is more of it in the new one in Rebirth, but it's like 90% optional. It's one of those games where you have like the open world map and you trigger towers that like set up a bunch of beacons on the map, and then you can go and do them if you want. If you don't want to do them, then you don't have to.
Well, that sounds kind of like Breath of the Wild kind of, right?
Or a little bit, yeah. Like it's certainly not as open world like Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom. Like you basically, hey, go wherever you want, you know. You might get killed, but go wherever you want. This one, it is still in sections. Like you said, you've played the original Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah
So this one, without any spoilers, this one picks up right after they leave Midgar. Mm-hmm. And they're in Calm telling the story of Nibelheim and all that. I guess it's Nibelheim. I'm learning all these words from Final Fantasy VII that I've pronounced wrong for years. Because on the PS1, I don't know how to say Mako or Nibelheim or any of the... I'm learning all of these new like pronunciations. But so once you get out of there, you're in like just the grasslands. And there's like a whole area that's just the grasslands between that town right outside of Midgar and where that swamp is, where the giant snake thing, where you have to get a chocobo to get across or he's going to kill you. Like I've been playing for about 11 hours and I just got past the swamp.
Okay.
Which is just after where the game starts from Final Fantasy, the originals. There's a lot to it, but it's been fun. And like I said, I agree with you. I love the combat. The combat's so much. It's such a blast. I hate turn-based combat, man. It's so slow.
It's so funny. I actually love it, which is weird because I'm younger than both you guys. So it's like, I played these games when they were starting to get phased out, kind of like those old systems.
Yeah.
but I still love those. I guess it's like a pacing thing for me. The action RPG thing, it's really fast for me.
Yeah, it is.
I really like the way they did this one, but I still, you know, I always long for, like, we were playing Sea of Stars.
Yeah.
And that was amazing for me.
That's Sea of Stars is incredible. It's incredible. Yeah. Yeah. I don't like, it's not that I can't play a turn-based. It's just my problem is I get bored. Like, by the end, I'm like some of my, like, I love Earthbound. You know, I love Super Mario RPG. I love Final Fantasy 2 and 3 on the Super Nintendo. Like, I like some of the old turn-based games. My problem is just by the end of it, I'm like, I'm sick of just another random encounter, mash attack. And then it's, you know what I mean? I'm like, I need
the exact same way.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Like, I need a little
just drags,
a little action. And that's why I agree with you. The combat in these games is hectic as all hell. It's overwhelming at times, but at least it keeps me invested. Like, I'm almost, dude, you play like Final Fantasy, the original Final Fantasy VII. And in a lot of the basic fights, you can be like looking on your phone while you're just mashing attack a few times. And then you're like checking Twitter while you're doing it, you know? So I get it though.
I'm currently playing Sea of Stars, and I've been doing the same thing. I'm just not even looking, just playing on my phone, hitting the button over and over, and I won.
The thing about Sea of Stars is, I don't know how far you are, but like it does pack a bit of a punch in the last like third. And I just got
to where it started getting more difficult, but for the first half, yeah, it's pretty easy. But
it
now
is easy.
You can't just button mash. You actually have to pay a little bit of attention.
Yeah, and one of the things that keeps me invested in a turn-based RPG like that is when they put those timed hits in, like mm-hmm. Mario RPG, Sea of Stars.
I do like that.
Me too, because then at least it's not autopilot. You know, you got to be paying attention, right? So Sea of Stars is so good. What a phenomenal video game.
I mean, Earthbound had an auto button, so you didn't even have to play it if you didn't want to.
Yeah, it did. And no random encounters. That's why that's why I love it. So I love that video game.
It's a good game.
Yeah, it is.
I think it was our first episode, wasn't it?
Earthbound? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
Nice. It's starting on a high note.
Well, in terms of like pronunciation shit, like is it just me or is it a Mandela effect or something? Or did they call her heiress in the original?
I don't know. So like, I'm not, it's literally one of the selling points of my podcast, not a history lesson. Like, I'm dumbass. I don't know. But I think in the Japanese release, she was Aerith. And then somewhere along the way in the translation, she became heiress for us here in North America. She'll always be heiress to me. Like, I know it pisses everybody off when I call her heiress, but I'm like, I don't care. It's heiress. It's not Aerith. I don't care. Like, and if I'm being honest, I don't even like her. Like, I can't stand her. She annoys me. Like, Tifa's awesome. Jesse's rad. But heiress just drives me crazy. She's just annoying. I don't know.
And oh man, I could talk about this for a while, but I guess my last point will be in terms of liking or disliking these characters. I kind of hate Cloud so far.
What the fuck? Well,
you don't hear him talk in the original game, but you hear him talk and interact in this game. And like on those side quests, even you do these nice things for people. And then he's always like, by the way, I'm a fucking dickhead. And
yeah, he does. You're right. He does. He's an ex-soldier. He can do that. He's like the coolest one.
Why is sword so big? He's compensating.
That's right. He's compensating. I've never disliked Cloud, but he is kind of just, aren't a lot of the Final Fantasy protagonists kind of just like Squall from 8. I like Final Fantasy 8. People dunk on that game. I like that game, but Squall is like the lamest protagonist of all time. And like Cloud, yeah, he just kind of comes across as like, piss off, don't talk to me, leave me alone. Like he acts the way I expect Barrett to act, because Barrett looks gruff. Barrett looks like, piss off and leave me alone. And Barrett's like a really nice guy, and Cloud's just a jerk. And I don't, yeah, I don't disagree with that.
Yeah, I never played. I played 8, but our last, it was my brother's game. Our last disc was scratched, so I would get to the certain point, and then I never could finish it. So
yeah, the ending sucks. Anyways, you're fine.
All right.
Yeah, you miss out.
All right. Well, we can dig into you, man. So
be careful. It's scary. It's a scary dig.
Well, let's just talk about the podcast. You host Remember the Game. You talk about retro games with the friends you grew up with playing the games. Plus, you have like four or five extra Patreon spinoff series, and you're a comedian on the weekends. And I don't know how the hell you do it.
Yeah, it's you know what, man? Like, I'm always nervous to be all like, oh man, it's a lot of work, because like I didn't even start stand up until I was 32. I didn't start podcasting until I was 33 or 34. So I drove a forklift for most of my adult life until then. So like I've had real jobs. Like I know it's like, dude, I live in northern Canada. I've driven a forklift outside in the snow in like 40 below, where you need to get off and like chain up your tires because you're stuck in the and it's like I've done it. I get it. Like this is not hard compared to that. But you're right. It is. It has become this, like, what started as just like a hobby for me to learn how to edit audio has become this like all encompassing beast, where stand up has become my side hobby and the podcast has become like my, it's every day I'm thinking about or working on these stupid podcasts. But as you guys, I'm sure are learning with like, that's, you kind of have to, you gotta, dude, like, I mean, if you want to just fart around with it and make it something to do for something to do, then like whatever. But if you want to have any kind of success, you gotta take it seriously. It's something to be taken seriously. There's a lot of competition out there. You know, you gotta work at it. So yeah, thank you. I don't know. It's all I do all day.
It's impressive, man. I mean,
thanks, man.
Obviously, we have, like, Caleb and I have full time jobs and we do this, but I mean, it's not that much different for you. The one main episode that, or main, you know, main feature of our podcast that we put out every other week is a lot for me.
Yeah.
I can't fathom editing as much as you do, but I imagine you have a pretty, like, you're like 3 years in, right?
Remember the game turned 6 this summer. So,
oh,
like,
really?
Yeah. The other Patreon episode shows are various lengths, but the core show will be 6 in July.
No, that makes sense. That was just bad math on my part.
No, it's all good. And you're right. I do have it pretty. The editing is like, it's going to sound so dumb, but you know what actually takes the most time is playing the games. Yeah. Like, I can do the editing pretty quickly. And I don't know how you two fellas are with like notes and stuff. I mean, Game Patch, my gaming news show, I have a full script. That one takes a long time because I got to write out all the stories and I don't. Plagiarism is bad, kids. Don't plagiarize. So I go to all the news sites. I pull the sources. I write them in my own words like that. That one takes some time. But most of the rest of them, like, I don't write a lot of notes. I rely on being a comedian. I just have my bullet points and I go from A to B, and editing them isn't too bad. It's the getting ready and playing the games and stuff that, and then promoting it, trying to get it out on social media I hate social media. Yeah, trying to get it on social media sucks, man. I don't know which of you guys runs your social media, or if you both do.
That guy, not me.
Yeah. I hate it, dude. I hate social media so much.
Yeah, it started out that my wife was running all of our social media stuff, and eventually I just took it over because it ended up kind of being more work than me doing it myself.
Sure.
You're spending more time on the social media than the podcast.
I know. It's incredibly difficult. She was doing it because I didn't even want to be on it anymore. I was off social media for like 2 years.
Yeah.
And I just didn't want involved anymore. But now that I'm on it, it immediately became obsessive, which is why I hate it.
Yeah.
Amongst other reasons. But dude, it's just like putting those things together. Oftentimes I'm doing it. I'm putting a post together the day that I have to post it.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I don't even, and then you have to clip from your episodes. It's just so much when you have to do a dumbass job.
Well, I mean, you're right. You're no question. You're right. It sucks. I have no like know-how with it. No, I'm not good at it. I hate it. It's listening to yourself. I don't know if you two feel this way, but like listening to your own stuff is like going to the dentist without any like freezing or anything. It is just like, I always joke. There's like a thing we say in comedy where like good comedians hate listening to themselves, because the bad comedians are like, oh, look at me. I got 2 laughs. I'm the best comedian in the world. And the good comedians, like, all you hear, like, in a 45 minute set, there's 3 jokes that didn't hit quite right. And I'm like, that's all I fucking hear, you know, or like the way I missaid a word. It's the social media part is the worst. Like, to go back to your point about you guys have jobs, like, I treat this as a job, and like backwards into this. Like I really started to remember the game just to learn how to edit. My plan was to do one show. I jokingly said in our first episode that no one's going to listen anyway. Like I was like, I said, no one's going to listen to this stupid show anyways. And then when the pandemic hit, comedy closed down, obviously, cause we weren't allowed to, you know, we couldn't spit on each other anymore or anything. So that was when I started doing the extra podcasts, because I was like, well, I started applying for jobs, because I was like, I lost my income as a comedian. I started applying for jobs. And at that point I had like a 2-year gap in my resume where I hadn't had a job. And you know, it was a competitive market. It was not easy for me to, I couldn't find anything. So I just started podcasting more. And that was where I started the Patreon ones. And by the time the pandemic really lifted and we kind of came back to normal, I was kind of all in on, I think I was up to 3 podcasts a week at that point. And I just never looked, like, if the pandemic had never happened, like, we're probably not having this conversation. And I'm not saying the pandemic was a good thing, because it sucked. Like, it's that sucked. But without that, I'm probably just maybe doing 1 show a week and doing stand up the rest of the time and nothing. Like, I just got very lucky that by the time the pandemic ended, we had gathered enough momentum. It was basically like an 18-month break in my life where I could kind of get this truck started and see where it goes. So it was a complete fluke that it ever happened.
It's crazy. I mean, it's kind of just one of those fate things. Like, I mean, I'm sure you never pictured yourself to be here, like, whatever, 6-7 years ago.
No, but you know what though? Like, I mean, I didn't, no question. I didn't, but I, you know what? I'll name them. I don't care. Well, no, I won't. It's your podcast. I won't name them. I have a former employer that many people know. They are, most of the name of their company is Line, and it's about you. And I won't say anything else, but they're like, they do shipping supplies. And I was working that job when I was 32, and I hated that job. And that was when I started stand-up for the first time. And it wasn't even like, I never even grew up a stand-up fan, really. I just wanted to try it. I just wanted to see, like, you know, I'm like, I guess I had like a midlife crisis at 32. I was like, I don't want to just drive a forklift for the rest of my life. I want to try this and just see. And then 10 months after I started stand-up, I quit my day job to try to be a comedian. And then that was when I started podcasting. And all it was trying to learn about audio levels and trying to get more comfortable. You guys are, do either of you work with microphones like in your day-to-day jobs? Like, or is this just like a side thing? So you're learning, like, I'm not saying it's hard, but like, it's a skill to sit behind a mic and be entertained. Mm-hmm. It's a learning process. And that's all I wanted was reps. And when I was doing stand-up for a living, I used to say that, like, this is close, but this isn't what I want to do. And I was like, I don't know what I want to do with my life, but I don't want to do this. Cause stand up is like, you're on the road all the time. And I'm not a huge drinker or a huge partier. And I'm like, I'm old and I'm tired and I want to go home and go to bed. And I was like, I don't want to do this forever. I got to find something else. And I got to say, dude, like, I hosted a different show before. Remember, I'm sorry, I'm talking so much. I just,
no.
I can't help myself.
Why you're here.
Yeah. I can't help it. I'm a ham. I actually had a different podcast before Remember the Game, and it was initially called The Comedy Odyssey, where I'd interview comedians and no one listened to it. And then about halfway through that show's run, I switched it up to Adam Wastes Time, and then I could just interview anybody and talk about anything. And again, nobody listened to it. And I dropped that around 80 episodes or so. And then I started Remember the Game. And the big difference was I went from like, oh, I'm just talking for the sake of talking to like, I fucking love video games. Like, I could do this for hours at a time. And it's still nobody listened to it for about a year. And then, and then it just kind of started to take off. Cause you're right. If you had told me when I was 32 that this is where I'd be at 40, I would have been like, no chance in fuck. Like, no chance. I can't believe it. You're right. Maybe fate, luck. I don't fucking know, but it worked out somehow.
Well, I have several questions that developed out of that, but first, you kind of never were into comedy really, but then you wanted to try it. Where did that come from? Like, what sparked that interest for you?
I'm just, it's funny because before I did stand up, I was that guy that had to be the center of attention. Like, I've always considered myself kind of the funny guy. I'm the guy that likes to make dumb jokes, and sometimes I'm just really annoying about it, but that's how I like, if dude, like I've had a couple of people pass away in the last month and a half. And, I've made jokes about all, like, that's how I deal with everything, is just my stupid jokes. And I always wanted to be the center of attention. That's really where it came from. Like, I listened to stand-up growing up. I was a big Jerry Seinfeld fan and stuff, but I wasn't like ride or die. I don't watch any stand-up now. I just wanted to do something. I always wanted to be a pro wrestling manager. That was my big thing.
That would be awesome.
Right? That was like, dude, I would do that for free. If you were like, hey, there's a building out there with hundreds or thousands of people in it. You have 5 minutes. Here's a microphone. Go make them hate you. Like, that turns me on. I would do that in a heartbeat. So I've always just liked to talk, and it's really the only thing I'm good at. Like, I'm short, I'm not athletic. I can't fix anything. I don't know how tools work. I just like to talk. and stand-up just seemed like a natural thing for me to try. It was just kind of like, I always joke that I don't fit in because all my friends that are comedians, like, oh, dude, did you see so-and-so's, like, Shane Gillis's new special? And I'm like, I've never watched 8 seconds of Shane Gillis. Like, I don't watch comedy. I don't know.
Have you done comedy in the U.S.? Because I host another podcast, and I interviewed a younger guy. His name was Jeremiah Amporfe. He's a Canadian comedian, and he was telling me that Canada has, like, different hate laws and stuff, so it's actually harder to do stand-up comedy because you can get, like, arrested or in trouble if you say the wrong things in some certain situations.
Yeah. So to your first question, I've never done stand-up in the States because I don't have a work visa to come down there. I could come down and do like open mics and like fart around, but I can't come down and like work. I probably could, but if I ever got caught, I don't know, you guys might kick me out of your country.
Can't get the proper tax forms.
Yeah. And like, if I'm being honest, like, dude, I fucking love the US. Like every time I come to America, I love it down there. I'm proud Canadian. I love coming to America. So it's like, I'm not chancing making $100 at a club if it means that I'm going to get banned from the country that has Las Vegas. Yeah. Like any country that has a Las Vegas is A-OK by me. I love that place. So I've never done stand up down there. As far as that other thing, you're kind of right. I've never run into any issues. I'm a pretty clean comic outside of profanity. I grew up like Jerry Seinfeld was my guy growing up. I'm a clean comic, but I can't remember his name, but there was a comedian in Canada years ago who made a joke about there was like a disabled person.
Yeah, like
at
a benefit or something. And he got, I think he actually had to pay a huge fine and stuff, but it was like this whole court situation.
It went to the Supreme Court of Canada because I don't know if it was the disabled person or their relatives or somebody sued this guy and it like exploded and it like blew up.
But for a joke, that's crazy.
It is. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous, man. Again, you know, I'm not a political guy. I don't weigh in. I don't really, people ask me sometimes like, where are you politically? And I'm like, I genuinely hate all of them. I hate all of them. I don't trust a single one. Like every time we have an election, I'm like, who do I think is going to screw this up the least? And that, like, I don't like any of them.
Which to me is the proper stance. Like that's where everyone should be.
Bro, the way people are like I'm a big sports guy. And like, I'm ride or die with the Tampa Bay Rays. And I'm like, if Tampa Bay Rays suck, then I guess I suck. I'm ride or die with that team. But people are like that with their political parties. And I'm just like, dude, like just
weird.
Step back and see who's going to screw this up the least. But anyway, I digress. We're going on a different tangent here. When it comes to stuff like the censorship and things in Canada, I've never run into any big problems with it, but I know a lot of comedians that have, and it's really frustrating because I'm a big believer that like and I mean this in all sincerity, anything can be funny if done properly. Anything, any topic can be funny. I've heard some great jokes about some horrible topics. Anything can be done. And I think when you buy a ticket to a comedy club, in my opinion, you waive the right to try to cancel that comic. You can go out and be like, that comic wasn't funny. That's totally within your prerogative. But like, you know, going in, you bought a ticket to this comedy club. It'd be like buying a ticket to a rock concert and then being like, the music was so loud. That was ridiculous. Like you bought the ticket, watch the show. And if you don't like it, then leave. Because the problem is people laugh when you make jokes about bald people, fat people, short people. That's all funny. Then I make a joke about, I don't know, tall people, and some tall guys like, whoa, hey, whoa, 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 whoa. And it's like, but you laughed at the other three jokes.
Yeah.
Like, I think the whole world, like everyone just needs to relax a little bit. Like, just have some fun. Life's fun.
The idea that you can cancel someone and ruin their livelihood over a joke is ridiculous. Like, that shouldn't be a thing. Because they can do that with podcasts, too. I mean, they've tried with many podcasters. It's like, I didn't like that particular content. Let me have a boycott. Yeah. And that's just, it's stupid.
Dude, you want to know the truth? I live in a constant state of fear that, this is probably my dream job. I can't think of anything I would rather be doing with my money. Again, maybe the wrestling manager thing, but that's fine. I work for myself and I play and talk about video games. Like, I can't think of anything else I would rather do in my life. I live in a constant state of fear that someday something is going to get me canceled. And I'm not racist at all. I'm pro LGBTQR. I don't know all the letters you guys use now, but I'm pro that team. Like I'm a pretty, I mean, like you're familiar with me. I'm a pretty laid back guy. I think I'm a nice guy, But like, all it takes is like, I don't know, one joke I make on stage gets turned the wrong way and goes viral online, and now my life is over. and it's wild. And there's a big difference, dude. And people don't always look at it this way, but there's a big difference between a comedian on stage making a joke that got taken out of context and some jerk off throwing their coffee on the kid at McDonald's because he doesn't like the way they put the lid on the cup. Yeah. Or, you know, or one of those viral videos of a Karen or whatever the fuck they're called. There's two very different things. And it's just, there's a lot of comedians that are afraid to be comedians now. And I'm like, dude, it's art. Comedy is art.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned, video games are art. Books are art. Music is art. Movies are art. Comedy is art. Let us create art. And if you don't like it, then don't watch the comedy. Like, go watch something else. Like,
you know, what's the biggest takeaway is you don't have to imbibe in the entertainment if you don't like it. You don't have to cancel it so somebody else who actually does like it won't be able to.
Oh, dude. And it's like, and like, now people are going back through like people's old social media and finding a tweet from like 12 years ago and being like, you're done, buddy. We got you. Like, I've said it countless times, man. I am grateful as fuck social media didn't exist when I was in high school.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'd be boned today. I'm sure I would have done something stupid. Like, I really hope they teach kids in school today, like, the internet is permanent. Like, what you put on there doesn't go away. Don't be stupid.
Dude, the things we thought were funny in like the 90s and early 2000s, one, they don't fly at all anymore. But the fact that we were like teenagers or kids back then, I could only imagine what I said.
Right? Dude, growing up in like the Jackass era and like Tom Green and like some of these things, like, it was like we all went out and tried to impersonate them and do stupid shit. And it's terrifying. It's terrifying. I'm so glad it's not like that anymore. Yeah, I wasn't around back then.
I grew up with social media during, you know, middle school and high school, and that scares me because I did the same thing on social media, so that, you know, there's a chance that I said something horrible,
right?
And it's like, it's terrifying to think of. And now I put it out there, so
now people are gonna go looking. Yeah, now people are gonna scour the internet. Imagine being
15 and somebody's recording all your movements and like, it makes me cringe just thinking about what could have been if I was your age. Like,
oh, buddy,
awful.
Yeah,
it's I don't like. Look, I'm all for Me Too. I'm all for society becoming, you know, we should all be just nicer to each other. Quite frankly, that's been my thought for you. We should all just like, we're all at the end of the day, we're all just blobs on this rock. Flying through space, none of us fucking know. Let's all just be nice to each other. But the witch hunt that the internet turns into sometimes is just absolutely ridiculous. It's scary. It's, as a comedian, it's scary. Like, I don't do a lot of risque stuff, but like, I respect the comedians that do, because I'm like, dude, you're playing with fire these days, man. That's that's scary shit.
Yeah, like me and my coworker, we always say, like, even if we don't agree with something, like, you should be able to do whatever that thing is. Just leave me alone. Like,
yeah, dude. Just
leave everybody alone.
The concept of agree to disagree is dead.
Yeah.
Like, you're either with me or you're against me. And like, and I hate that. I love talking to people that think differently than I do. I love it. I want to know, why do you think that way? Like, I want to, like, what is it about that like not, you know, like look, if you're racist, like, you know, all due respect, like, fuck you. You know, like, there is no due respect. Like, fuck you. Like, we're all just humans. But like, you know, if you're like, oh, I think this about the economy, and I think this, or I think this about society, and I think this, we need those discussions. I like that kind of shit. I want to know more about that kind of stuff. And I see it with video games, bro. I dunked on Metal Gear Solid 3 and I took shit for that for months. And I'm like, it's a stupid podcast, and I'm just voicing my opinion. People are writing in and they're like, yeah, well, Super Mario World sucks. And I'm like, okay, like, I don't care. Then, like, that's what you think. I don't give a fuck. Like,
it always blows my mind when because you say those things so often, like how you're gonna catch shit for the shit that you say about certain games. And I'm like, are people, do they really care that? Do you really that many writers?
Sure do. Yeah, I do. I get when I did the Sonic Adventure 2 episode, I was pretty hard on Sonic Adventure 2. And I lost several patrons, and in their exit survey, they were like, you don't like Sonic Adventure 2. You're an idiot and stuff like that. I was getting messages from people online. People were coming into my stream and just being like my Twitch streams and be like, you're wrong. And I'm like, I'm literally not. It's an opinion. I'm not wrong. Like, oh my God.
It's like, no, you do like that game, you fuck. Like,
yeah. They're like, I'm like, you're right. Maybe I do like that game, actually. And I'm like, no, I just. Ah, drives me I don't know.
The thing that scares me the most is the fact that it doesn't take a lot of people to cancel someone anymore. It only takes a handful of people that are loud enough, and then all of a sudden you're, at least on social media, you're a fucking asshole. And it's like, I'm not though.
Yeah, man. And you know what really sucks is, and I don't know where the line is. I'm not saying that I'm the authority on it, but like, there are some people that probably deserve to be canceled and told to shut the fuck up. And but who, the problem is that they get lumped in with all the people that have just made one off color joke or something. Like, mm-hmm. are either of you, and I'm not trying to defend them, but like, are either of you familiar with Colin Moriarty from IGN?
Mm-mm.
Okay. He used to write for IGN, and then he hosted their PlayStation podcast. And then he went off to start a Kind of Funny with Greg Miller and those guys, the video game place. And then he made a joke on Twitter years ago. It was International Women's Day or something. Or no, it was a day without a woman or something. It was like the trending thing on social media, and the point was trying to raise awareness of like what our lives would be like without women. And it was like, you know, without our mothers, without our daughters, without our wives. It was, you know, and he made a joke like, peace and quiet. # a day without a woman. It was a stupid, like, as a comedian, I'm like, that's like a 6 out of 10 joke. It was fine. Yeah. It's a stupid joke. And that dude ended up having to leave Kind of Funny over it because the internet came after him in droves. And it was like, it's a fucking joke. And I don't deal with it for any of my jokes, but I do deal with it for some of my opinions on video games. And fortunately, the world isn't going to cancel me because I don't like Metal Gear Solid 3. So I'm able to just turn around and be like, yeah, well, then I don't like your game. Fuck off. I don't care.
I feel like that joke was the exact definition of kind of funny.
It was. Yes, exactly.
Not hilarious, exactly. But it's kind of funny.
Oh, man. It's wild. I don't know how we got on this tangent. But yeah, it's just the internet's a scary place, man. The internet is scary, scary place.
You know, I started listening to Kind of Funny a while ago. But I started like kind of getting annoyed by them. And then by like happenstance, I was listening to one of your episodes and you were like, I used to listen to them and they got something. And I was like, I fucking agree. Like they talk about politics on there sometimes. It's like, leave it alone.
I'll name them. I don't care. Like Retronauts is probably the biggest retro gaming podcast in the world. And a big part of the reason I started Remember the Game was because I listened to Retronauts and I got sick of having politics. Mm-hmm. Shoved down my throat. I'm like, if you want to do a political podcast, like
do one, yeah,
do it, free speech. But I'm like, I just want to listen to video games. Yeah. Like, I don't give a flying fuck who you vote for. If you want to listen when an election comes up, if you want to use your platform to be like, hey, vote, I'm pro that. Like, that's democracy. Get out there and vote. I don't care who you vote for. Vote. I'm down with that. But I'm like, I just I'm like, dude, life is stressful enough. I just want to listen to two nerds talk about Zelda for an hour. I don't need you to like wave the flag and tell me where to vote and everything. And you're right, Bryce. Like I stopped listening to Retronauts because of it, and I stopped listening to Kind of Funny because of it. It really there's a time and a place.
Yeah.
And I don't understand why everything has to be political these days.
Subscribing to an art channel on YouTube and they're showing you how to draw Spider-Man in the middle of it. The artist is like, hey, you know that Trudeau? He did blackface. What a dickhead.
Yeah, yeah, that's it is, though. Like, it has to get pigeonholed into everything now, man. I hate it.
Ridiculous.
Sorry if you guys are normally political. I apologize. I don't
know.
I'm like, it's stupid. You were like, uh-oh.
We might like edge on it in our book episodes, but other than that.
Only if it's relative to the conversation, but
we don't really.
And even then, we don't do contemporary politics because what's the point?
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
No matter what, you're going to piss people off on either side. Like one side or the other is going to get mad. So why even do it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I'm not even so much worried about pissing people off because I've pissed people off. I don't care. I worry about like just, I'm like, that's just not what I want my show to be.
Yeah.
I'm like, my show's a video game show. I want to talk about video games.
Yeah.
Like they're two different things. The world is serious enough, man. And you can't, dude, Bryce, you talked about how you're off. I was off social media as well. And then I had to get back on it for my podcast and for comedy. Social media is a cesspool. I'm like, the world is already stinky enough. Like, just if I want to put on a podcast about video games or books or movies or whatever the fuck to relax for an hour, then let me just forget about the world and just listen to something fun for an hour.
Yeah.
Like, that's what this stuff's supposed to be, you know?
Right. Agreed. So, like, you had mentioned before in your, you know, in your various episodes that you kind of stopped playing video games for a while.
Yeah.
At one point in your life. Why, what brought you back to video games, and like, what really made you dive into doing that as a podcast?
So I'm 40. So I've been a gamer since like the mid 80s with the NES. I've always, like, people always give me shit because I haven't seen any movies, because I'm like, that's all I did was play video games. That's all I wanted to do was play video games. And then in my mid 20s, I started going to the bars and stuff, and I got out of gaming a bit. And then I started going out a little bit more. And then I was like, man, I don't want to stay home and play these anymore. I want to go out and do things. Like, holy cow, there's like a whole world out here. Look at this. Like, there's, look at these girls. Like, there's things out here. I don't need to just play my video games. And then I ended up racking up a lot of credit card debt in my mid 20s and was like, okay, I got to get serious about this now. I got to stay home and I got to not go out, not go to the bars. And I got to stay home and pay off my debts. And that was why I went out and bought a used Xbox 360 and I bought Gears of War. And all it was me just trying to do something cheap to stay home. Cause I'm like, that's, you know, $200 for this console in this game. Like, that's a night at the bar. I'm like, no more. I'm doing that. And I just completely fell back in love with it. It was like an old friend. And I was like, dude, I forgot how much I love. That's why I don't do a lot of PS2 games and that on the show, is because I just didn't play a lot of them, because that was the area where I wasn't playing.
Yeah.
And now I'm getting back into it. And that was why I started the podcast about it. Cause I was like, I just forgot that, like, outside of professional wrestling, there's literally nothing on this planet that I'm as passionate about as I am video games. Like, I love them. I think about them all the time. I will literally, and that's when people ask me for advice on how to start a podcast or what to do with their podcast. I tell people, like, for a vast majority of people, like, the number one thing you need to do is pick something you like to talk about. Don't pick what you think the world wants to hear, because probably there's other people already doing it. At this point, there's so many podcasts. Pick something that you, because your passion and what you like, A, you'll quit before you get any traction if you don't love what you're talking about. Because as I'm sure you guys have learned, dude, it is a grind to get a podcast off the ground.
Yeah.
And number two, I'm like, just like, I don't give a crap about movies. I don't talk about a lot of movies. I don't talk about movies. So like, if I had decided to start a movie podcast, like every week when I sit down to record, I'd be like, all right, this week we're talking about, I don't know, The Matrix or something. You know what I mean? Like, and it's like, it's not fun. Just pick something you love. And there's just nothing I love more than video games. If that makes sense.
Well, first I was going to say, you read my letter the one day.
Yes.
When I mentioned, like, I had a tough year, and, you know, letting myself get back to playing video games was such a big deal, because I stopped playing just because I felt like, you know, I have a lot of things that I love. And in terms of, I think being creative is a big deal. And my main creativity is writing, and for both of us, actually. And I dove into that, and I saw video games as a waste of time for a long time. And, you know, a lot of people tend to say, like, oh, video game, you're immature if you play video games and waste your time with that crap. If it's something that you like, you talk about it all the time. If it's something that you like, it's not a waste of time.
Yep.
So I started letting myself play it, and it reminded me of how when I was in college, I would go into my lit classes, and we talk about books and stuff, and I'd be really interested in that, but I'd be also be thinking about the game that I'm playing back in my dorm room. And I'm like, it'd be cool if we could talk about, like, Final Fantasy IX in the way that we talk about about books here.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of what sparked this podcast. And people challenge me with the idea, because the way the internet works, it wants you to have, like, one genre of an idea.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and I mean, I'm seeing the results that way too. It's harder to get it up off the ground because it's split into two interests.
Yeah.
Books and games. But I was like, fuck you guys, I'm gonna do what I want to do.
Yeah.
Well, and I'm enjoying it so far.
I think that's one of the cool things about podcasting, is that, like, there's no rules.
Yeah.
I mean, there are a couple rules. You know, I can't just take, like, a Star Wars movie and play it into a mic for 2 hours and be like, there's this week's episode. Like, I can't do that. But, like, comedy was the same thing, but, like, for a long time there were like gatekeepers. If you wanted to have a platform like this, you needed a radio show, or you had to get on TV or whatever. And now it's like, nah, dude, you have a microphone and an opinion, go nuts, go talk. And I love that. I think that's the purest thing about podcasting, is that everyone can do a podcast about anything you want, say whatever you want. And if there's an audience out there for it, hopefully they'll find you. I agree. I think that's, I genuinely think podcasting, and I don't just say this because I do it for a job. Like, I think the internet is the best and worst thing to happen to humanity, probably in like the modern era. Like, because the internet is open doors for all of us and knowledge and stuff that all of us would have never had. But it's also given, it's also really ratcheted up the hate and the tension. You know, it's, you guys are, it's, it does both, right? And I think that's the, I just think that's the most beautiful thing about podcasting is you're like, fuck, yeah, maybe like no network or radio show or radio station or whatever would pick up, radio stations are dying because of podcasts, but that doesn't matter. Like, it's like, you know, maybe no one would pick up a show about both books and video games and stuff all at once, but fuck them. That's what I feel like doing anyways. And it's like, yeah, then do it. Why the fuck not? It's awesome. Like, if tomorrow I wanted to start a pancake wrestling podcast where every week we compare pancake flavor to one of my favorite wrestlers, I can do that. And I don't care if anyone ever listens to it, because I think I like pancakes and I like wrestling and I want to talk about them. Fuck you. I love that.
German suplexes.
Damn right, baby. I love it. I think podcasting is a beautiful thing. I'm biased, but I really do. I think it's awesome.
Well, so, podcast has no constraints, whereas, you know, cable TV, news, radio, whatever you have, it always has constraints, whether it's censorship, time restraints, topic restraints. Podcast, you do whatever the fuck you want. And that's what's great.
Yeah, man. Agreed.
Since your podcasting is an actual business for you,
yeah.
Do you ever feel like intimidated being a video game podcast in the massive sea of podcasts and YouTube channels about video games?
Yeah, sometimes. I'm not so much intimidated by that anymore because truthfully, I never thought and I'm not just saying that, I never thought we would get where we are. I really didn't think anyone would ever listen. I still don't entirely understand how it happened, to be completely honest. And I'm not trying to be humble. Like, I think we have a good show, but I really don't understand how everybody found it. I don't get it. I do get intimidated by just the scale of what it's become, because I'm the, like, for the first time in my life, I'm the boss, and it like, dude, I can't turn on my phone without, I never check my DMs on Instagram because I get so many, and a lot of them are spam, but a lot of them aren't. And sometimes they're nice people that like the show, and sometimes they're people that are like, you fucking suck, you googly eyed Canadian piece of shit. We hate you. And all that kind of stuff. I always describe it as like, you know, when you're running like down a hill and your body's moving faster than your feet can go. And you're like, I know eventually I'm going to eat it. I just don't know when. Like, that's how I feel about this now, is I'm like, there's just so many talented people out there making gaming content that are better at least the production side of it than I am. And I just don't want this to go away. And I do live in a constant state of fear that eventually this is going to go away.
Do you ever wonder what's next?
All the time. Yeah. People ask, like, when are you going to end it? Like, how long is the show going to? And I'm like, the show is going to go until either I don't want to do it anymore or people don't want to listen to it anymore. But, like, are you guys familiar with the Angry Video Game Nerd?
Yeah.
Of course, right? Everybody knows the AVGN. There's like an entire Reddit based on like people that hate that guy now, because they're like, his videos are lame and he's sold out and he sucks now and he hates,
because he has like a production team and stuff. I mean, it's a lot of content to put out.
Agreed.
And it's like, why are you hating on this guy who's still doing the thing that you loved? He doesn't have to do it, but he does.
Yeah. I'm like, if you don't like, I don't watch a lot of his new shit because I don't think it's very good, but I watch his old stuff, and I'm not going to go online and be like, he sucks. Fuck. I'm just like, I don't want to watch it. So I'm not going to watch it. I don't care.
I mean, he's also a dad. He has
he has responsibilities outside of making people laugh. I'm not comparing myself to the Angry Video Game Nerd, but I do think we've both been down the path of like, we just started doing something because we thought it'd be fun and never expected it to become a job. And I feel like the Angry Video Game Nerd is like the internet equivalent of you either die the hero or live long enough to see yourself become the villain. Like, because so many people dunk on him now. Boogie 2988 was like the most beloved YouTuber in the world, and now he's a piece of shit. Everybody hates him. And I do worry about that a lot. I've tried to stop. If this ever ends, I don't want to look back and be like, I didn't even enjoy the ride because I was too stressed about when it was going to be over. So I try not to think about that, but it's just so hard not to, because I don't know. Dude, I'm 40. I haven't had a job in 8 years. Like, if this ever dies, I'll probably just go back to doing stand-up full time. But I don't really want to do that. Honestly, if I have to go back to stand-up full time, I'll probably try to get another warehouse job.
Forklift certified.
Yes, sir. Chicks dig the forklift guys, man. I don't.
They do. I see the memes.
Yeah.
The hardest part of being a content creator is especially for like YouTube, podcasts, things like that. It's the fact that you give out so much free content that took so much effort to create, and the average person who just clicks on it and watches or listens has no idea what went into that, and then they just leave their shitty hate comment or you know, it's just like, why?
Yeah.
So you don't have any idea. Like for AVGN, for instance, you don't know how hard, like, he puts out videos that are like full production, almost documentaries, or like actual, like, it, you could tell it took months and months and months to put together, and then you get people in the comments, I miss the old stuff where he just sits in front of a screen. It's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, dude. I don't care if someone leaves me a bad review. I used to read the bad reviews on the show and laugh at them, but
that encourages it though. Eventually
it does. I don't want people leaving bad reviews on purpose. So I've told people now, if you want to shit on me in a review, give me 5 stars. But then if you want to be like, this guy's a complete douchebag and I hate him, as long as I get the 5 stars, I don't really care what, I don't care what you say about me. One of my podcasts, The Rambling Idiot, is literally named after a review I got. This kid named Steven left me a review and called 1 star and called me the Rambling Idiot. And so I named one of my podcasts after it because I thought it was so funny. I don't really care. I don't really care that people hate, but I do agree with you, Caleb. Like, sometimes it's so easy, dude. It takes 2 seconds to go online and hit 1 star, you suck, send, and move on. And it's like, dude, someone might have put their heart and soul into that work that you just dunked on. And I just, if you want to leave a 1 star review for like a like something you purchase, I don't have a problem with that. Like if I buy, you know, a new, I don't know, whatever the fuck. If I buy something and then it doesn't work, I'll leave you a 1 star review so other people don't get ripped off like I just did. I'm good with that. But when it's just like a subjective art work, podcasting is free. Podcasts are free. If you don't like it, just leave the poor person alone. If a YouTube video sucks, go on to the next YouTube. There's, what do they say that there's like so much YouTube? I don't even remember what it is now. There's something like, it would take you like thousands of years to watch all this stuff on YouTube now or something like that. It's like, if you don't like it, then just ignore them and go on to the next thing. Like,
seriously,
you know? And what really sucks is people, when they are mad or they don't like something, they're quick to go on a line and be like, thumbs down, 1 star, screw you.
But when they like it, something, crickets.
They don't think to leave a review. I'm bad for that. I've tried to get better at leaving good reviews on like a restaurant I like and stuff like that.
I'll at least give star ratings if I can.
Yeah. You don't have to write a book. Just 5 stars. Mm. Move out. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
At the end of the day, Adam, I feel like you could be a guy like you and who who talks the way you do and be a piece of shit. But but I feel like the way that you talk about anything, even if you're being a dickhead, you turn it around. And on top of it, yeah, I just always feel like you're so balanced. And on top of it, you have your annual 24-hour stream where you donate to what's the hospital called?
The Stollery Children's Hospital. Yeah, it's like the biggest children's hospital in Alberta. Yeah.
Yeah.
What a segue. Hey, when you're a dickhead sometimes.
I feel like it's
part of the conversation with you.
I'll never deny it. Dude, ask my friends. Some of my friends are in the community and they're like, Adam can be a fucking asshole when he wants to be. Like, I can be, you know. You always put your best foot forward on the internet, but I can be a jerk. Yeah.
Yeah, but like I said, you turn it around. I felt like it was okay to say that because I followed up well. But
yeah, it's like saying no offense, but, and then you can say anything you want because you said no offense. So then get mad. You're like, hey, there was no offense meant.
Giving out the old compliment sandwich.
That's right, the old complimenter.
But yeah, I mean, it's still relevant too to donate to a children's hospital because you know, our love of video games comes from our childhood, which is the most important part of being an adult to hold on to that.
Yeah,
and,
dude.
And it's awesome that you donate to something where you give kids the opportunity to really have a good childhood.
Thanks, man. People say a lot of nice things about our, because we've done it for 4 years now. And the last 2 years, we've been the second biggest in Canada, the second biggest Extra Life in Canada. Like we've raised, awesome. I think we've raised almost 70,000 now.
Whoa,
for the Stollery over the last 4 years. And it's wild, but like, I'm always grateful for the compliments, but I'm like, the listeners donated 99% of the money. Like I do make a donation, but the listeners are the ones forking over there. I'm just sitting here playing video games, which I'd be doing anyway.
Yeah.
My thought with that kind of stuff is, and I genuinely believe this. I think anyone that is fortunate enough to, I think one of the, like, I don't have children. Do either of you guys have kids? I don't mean to pry into your personal lives.
I have a stepdaughter.
Okay. I don't know what it's like. I have nieces and nephews that are like my favorite humans on this planet, but I don't have any children of my own. Outside of raising children, I think finding a job that you like is quite possibly like the greatest gift someone could have in their life, because we all spend so many hours of our lives working. And if you like what you do, your life is just so much more fun. And it's not a lot of people get that opportunity. I've gotten very, very lucky. I'll never deny that. And I think anyone that has been fortunate enough to find themselves in a position that I'm in, like, I think stuff like the 24 hour streams are the least that, like, give back to, because I'm like, I always make the joke that I'm like, I don't contribute anything to society. Like, I pay my taxes, so I guess I'm pulling my weight, but I'm like, the joke I always use is like, if the zombies hit tomorrow, the world isn't going to be like, we're the comedians and podcasters, we need to save them. Like, that's not, we don't need us. Like, we're the ones you'll feed to the zombies while we take the engineers to go fix the power plants or whatever the fuck smart people do. But if you're fortunate enough to have a platform and do something you love for a living, the least you can do is try to do a little something to give back. So I'm always grateful for the nice compliments, but I'm like, I'm just giving the community a chance to do something cool. And I'm just their lightning rod for it.
Yeah. I mean, it's important though. You create the avenue for people to do a good thing.
I'm proud of it. Thank you. It's my favorite. It's my single favorite thing. Remember the Game does.
Yeah.
Is our 24 hour streams every year. I mean, I don't feel like that during the 24 hours because it fucking sucks. But it's a long time. But that makes sense.
Is your head just melted by hour 23?
You know what? Last year was the first year I split it into two 12s because, dude, yeah, like the year before, like I was 30, I guess I was 40 when this year just happened. So I was 39 the year before. And by about, I went 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. or 7 a.m. to 7 a.m. And by like 1 or 2 in the morning, I hardly have anyone. Like, there's people in the chat, but no one's really talking because most people have left it on and gone to bed and shit like that. And I have a bad back and this is a comfortable chair. Shout out to Secret Lab. It's a comfortable chair. But like 24 straight hours, like, I was constantly taking breaks and just getting up and like doing push-ups and trying to do anything to wake myself up. And I'm a coffee lover and I'm chugging coffee and I get surly. By the end of that stream, I was getting surly. People are coming in and I die. I'm like I always end it playing Super Mario World because that's my favorite game. And I'll be playing Super Mario World and I'll have like a stupid death and people start chirping me and there's a little venom on my wrist because I'm like, I've been awake for 22 straight hours. Yeah, the Koopa Troopa got me. Fuck off. I'm tired. Leave me alone. Give some money to the kids and shut up. So we finally went to the 212. So I stream for 12 hours, have a nap, and then stream for 12 hours. So
nice.
Because I'm surly. That's where Angry Adam comes up.
Did you always like the idea of streaming gameplay?
No. Buddy, oh my God. I wish I still had footage. My earliest streams... I used to stream from a laptop and my internet would cut out all the time and I couldn't get the audio to work and everything kept crashing. And so then I started just streaming directly from my consoles where my headset, so you couldn't see me. And the audio was like, I'm like playing games and I was like, I hated it. I don't know why I stuck with it. I don't know. I think like now I'm trying to get more active on Twitch and I think it's because I'm trying to, I guess, diversify the portfolio a little bit. And just if I ever do want to pull back on podcasts, maybe I've got that, you know, as like an alternative. Now I love it. I love streaming now. But no, dude, I don't know why I stuck with it as long as I did. I probably should have quit. If it wasn't video game related, I would have quit a long time ago. Like, you guys are obviously readers. I've tried to write like 3 books and rage quit all 3 of them. Rage quit. And I'm like, this is the worst thing ever written. This is horrible. And streaming was close. If it hadn't been video games, it would have been the same thing.
I feel like streaming is like one of those things where it's like local rappers and OnlyFans girls where just so many people are doing it that to be able to actually get noticed has to be very difficult.
It is. But you know what though? The single biggest thing I've taken out of stand-up comedy was it showed me that like probably the biggest difference between the people that make it and the people that don't are the ones that make it keep showing up.
Yeah, just consistency. Like,
dude, I used to do
the same with podcasting too. Damn, if you're right. Very consistent, even if your podcast sucks, you'll get some sort of audience.
Damn right. YouTube, Twitch streaming. it's so easy to try streaming, and after three streams, you've got one viewer, and it's like your mom, and you're like, well, this sucks. I'm not doing this anymore. Dude, I used to do about 250 comedy shows a year, and two-thirds of them weren't paid. Like, I was lucky if there was 20 people in the audience. I was bombing, but I just kept showing up, and a lot of people quit. And admittedly, that's probably why podcasting worked for me, because comedy showed me that, like, just keep showing up, you know? I've tried to get in shape like 100 times, and everyone's probably been there. You go to the gym 3 days a week for 2 weeks, and then you're like, fuck, I don't have abs yet. This sucks. I'm not doing this anymore. And I've learned that, like, the people that are in great shape are the ones that keep, I haven't done it yet, but they're the ones that keep showing up. You know, I think it's so easy to give up early on, and it doesn't matter what it, like, I'm not trying to be like an inspirational speaker, but like, if you're listening to this and you want to do, if you want to write something, you want to make a podcast, you want to learn to play an instrument, you want to get in shape, anything, just keep showing up. Just put the blinders on, just ignore everybody else, and just keep showing up. Because think about it, like, if you've quit, I've quit workout programs so many times, and I'm like, dude, imagine if the last year I had worked out every day for the last year.
Be an Adonis.
Right? And I'm like, now I'm sitting here and I'm like, you lazy piece of shit, what did you do for the last year? I'm like, I smoked pot and ate Doritos, and that's why I'm not in shape. So I always, that's the number one piece of advice I give anyone over anything, is just like, just like, if you're not having fun, if you don't like it, like, if you're not, then, you know, that's different. But if you're enjoying it at all, like, just stick with it.
Yeah. The example that I've started giving, since the last year, cause I started taking my writing seriously for the first time, like a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years by now. But last year I had a rejection goal for submitting my poetry. And so I wanted to get 100 rejections by the end of the year.
Nice.
Because you mostly get rejected.
Sure.
And like that's another one of those just great lessons in patience and persistence.
Yep.
Cause you're not just going to send your first thing out and get an acceptance. And if you quit after you get rejected five times, then, I mean, you don't even know if you're good or not. Like, and you're probably, someone likes your stuff. There's someone.
Sure.
You just got, like you said, you just got to keep doing it.
Yep. I started booking my own comedy gigs before I started the podcast. And I was sending upwards of 50, 60, 70 emails a day. And I was emailing like every, I think in the US they're called veteran halls. In Canada, they're legions. Like, it's like, you know, where the ex-military and military folks come out and drink, you know. I was emailing all of them. Every sports team I could come up with, like local sports team, minor sports team, every animal shelter, everything, being like, hey, I'm Adam Blank. I'm a comedian. I'd be interested in doing a fundraiser with you if you'd be interested, or if you want to do a comedy night, email me back. And I was just, like, I'm like, for every 200 emails I sent out, I would get three or four replies, and every dozen replies, I'd get one maybe. But you're right. It's most people give up. They're like, oh, well, yeah. I got, you know, no one's writing me back. Screw this. It's, dude, podcasts. The first 6 months of Remember the Game, we were lucky if we were getting 20 downloads a week. And I just kept doing it because I enjoyed doing it. And then eventually the ball, it's a snowball. And it can take a long time to get it rolling down that hill. But once it starts, it gets big fast, man. You just, you gotta, that's the difference. The ones that make it are the ones that stay with it.
Definitely. So just my last touch on streaming. I think Caleb and I, we don't really watch them, but we haven't really delved into that aspect of gaming, because we really only started getting into this field because of this, because we started doing this podcast.
Sure.
So, like, first, I guess, have you watched them yourself? And is, like, I guess I never really understood why you'd want to watch a stream.
Yeah, I watch some now. There are some members of our community that I lurk in a lot of stream. I don't talk very often in the chat because I usually, if I put a stream on, it's because I'm working on a retro game for the show, and I can't find anything on YouTube I want to watch. So I'll throw on somebody's stream just as background noise, you know? I used to think that too. I was like, why the fuck would anybody watch somebody playing a video game when you could just play the game? Why would
that's what I was going to say.
Why would you do this? But when I actually started doing it, I was like, most people, I think, do it the same way I do. They put it on in the background while they're gaming or whatever. And I really think, like, to be a draw as a streamer, you need one of, I guess, three things. Number one, you either need to be like world class at the game, because then people are coming by to see, like, oh my God, this guy's the best Call of Duty player in the world or whatever, that, you know. Number two, you need to be an entertaining personality, which I don't know how entertaining I am, but I assume that's why people come by my stream, because I'm not very good. Or number three, you need to be an attractive young lady in a hot tub or a pool of some kind.
And I'm not good.
So I'm like, I guess people come by just to watch me get angry. Maybe it makes them feel better about themselves to watch me suck at a video game. But
yeah, I mean, if I was going to watch any stream, it would be with some you or someone like you, because I mean, it's hilarious when you get angry. So I
right.
mean.
And it's funny because I always feel like such a douche. Like when I get off my streams, I'm like, I've deleted streams where I've gotten mad because I'm embarrassed. I'm like, that was a bad stream. But everyone's like, no, get mad. That's what we want. Like, we want to watch you. Everyone listening to this that plays video games has raged at a game before. Everybody, you know. And then like your wife or your husband or whoever comes into the room and they're like, why are you playing if you're getting so mad? And you're like, because it's how I fucking relax. Okay, just leave me alone. I'm relaxed right now. And I don't know. I agree with you. I never really saw the appeal to streaming. I kind of just thought it was, again, like podcasting, I just thought like maybe I'll learn how to set it up. And it was a learning process. I did not pick it up nearly as quickly as I learned how to do this part. But now I genuinely enjoy it. It's just, I'm going to be sitting here playing the games for the show anyway. Why not hang out with people that love video games and talk about,
right.
They come by. Sometimes we just talk about wrestling or food or whatever. Food comes up in my streams all the time. Really? I don't know why. Always. So I don't know.
That's just interesting.
It's fun. It's just nice to have people to talk to.
All right, we'll move on to our last topic of the day. So now and then on Remember the Game, you'll mention that you're sort of a bookworm.
I am, yeah.
But I guess being a video game podcast, you don't talk specifics about it. I know you read that one book on Nintendo or Super Mario or something like that.
Yep,
but yep. You haven't talked much outside of that. So like, what kind of stuff do you like to read?
I read a lot. Dude, as a kid, I was a huge reader. And I'm not bragging because you sound like a much better. I don't know, Caleb. Are you a writer as well?
Yeah.
Okay. I assume you're both exponentially better writers than I am. As when I was a wee lad, I got to go to like a writer's con. Like I loved writing.
Oh.
Growing up, that like LA, I think in the US you call it English. In Canada, it's language arts. LA. Mm. That's English, and that was my favorite subject growing up. Like I loved to write, and then I just kind of stopped. I still read, but I stopped writing because I thought everything I wrote sucked. Which I think is an experience every writer probably has, where you're like, I hate everything.
Again, it goes into the consistency, you know,
yeah.
You probably do suck at some point, but you do get better if you keep at
that,
it.
Yeah. And I always tell myself that. I'm like, dude, just finish this short story. Cause even if it sucks, the world, they'll never see it. And you just, that's like, that was a day at the gym. Now go start another book and start another story, whatever. So to answer your question, I love autobiographies. I know they're kind of easy reads, but I love autobiographies. I love true crime books. I'm a huge mafia guy. I'll read anything to do with the mob. I think that shit is fascinating. And then as far as fiction, I'm a really big fan. I like Dean Koontz is probably my favorite writer. Do you guys know who Michael Connelly is? He writes a lot of like Harry Bosch, like a lot of detective, they're fiction, but like detective books.
Oh, like crime books. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I love reading his stuff. I really like Stephen King, but I find Stephen King hit or miss.
Like
The Green Mile or like something like, crushed, and I'm like, wow. And then the next thing I read, I'm like, I'm done with this. This sucks.
Get a haunted frisbee or something stupid.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I find him hit or miss. Those are probably my favorite outside of stuff like autobiographies and true crime books and things. I usually go to Dean Koontz, Connolly, Stephen King. Oh, Michael, how do you say it? Crichton? I never say it correctly, and I always get in trouble for it. I've read just about everything he's ever written.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I love his
dense.
Books.
Yeah.
Yeah. His books are wild, man.
So. Oh, yeah. It's interesting that you actually like to write as a growing up. And you mentioned earlier you started writing a couple of books. What were you trying to write?
Yeah. I don't even want to say they're garbage. they're shit. They're shit. I tried to write one about a young dude trying to get into stand up comedy. And I was like, this
like fiction.
Sucks. Yeah. 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 Like fiction.
Okay.
And then I had this. So, it's going to sound morbid, but this was the one I spent the most time on. Because like comedy, a lot of comedy is writing. Like we spend more time, like the writing's the hard part. Getting up on stage and telling jokes is easy. Sitting down and writing jokes fucking sucks. That is that is the worst. I had this idea. I wanted to write something I'd never dove into this world before. I had this idea for a fiction novel about, I had a friend in high school who took his own life shortly after high school. And it's like 20, 25 years ago now. I'm not brushing it off, but like, you know, I moved on. It sucks. It's Kenny, you're the man. But I had an idea for a book about a dude that was picked on his whole life, because I got picked on a lot when I was little, and I wanted the book to start off with him preparing to commit suicide, and then it flashes back and tells the story of his whole life. And then my idea for the ending was you never actually know if he went through with it or not. And then the reader has to decide, like, did he or did he not finish the job? And I really put a lot of time into that. And I wasn't comfortable with it. I wasn't trying to like monetize depression or suicide or anything. I mean, it's just Rhett's writing. I thought it was an interesting story to tell. I just couldn't get over that hump. I'm sure you guys have been there. Writing's a motherfucker, man.
Yeah. Especially when you deal with the sensitive topic that you don't want to like mishandle by accident.
Even
if you have good intentions. I feel like I do that kind of shit all the time. Like you have a good intent behind it, but you can easily end up like making it look to somebody else like you're being an asshole or something.
Yeah, for sure. So most of the time now I don't do a lot of writing anymore, because if I am gonna, I mean, I don't write a lot of stand-up anymore, because I write 5 podcasts a week. Like this is where I get my creative splooge out now, is, for lack of a horrible term, is I do the podcast. Like this is how I get it out of my system now. But it is still something in the back of my mind. It's still something I kind of fantasize about. And if I'm being honest, like I have a kind of a daydream that like the day will come where between comedy and the show, maybe I have an interesting enough story to write a book, even if no one ever reads it, like a memoir, just to do that, you know, like.
I mean, I gotta tell you, Adam, you probably already have it.
I, you guys don't know what I'm like away from the camera. It's like I turned off the camera and then I smoked some weed and watched wrestling and fell asleep on the couch. You know, like it's, but I would like to maybe someday that would kind of be, I guess it's kind of like an end goal for me. It's something I'd like to do in my semi-retirement, but I don't know. I just don't, I have no creative energy left, man. It's so much of it goes into these podcasts.
No, I understand that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I would definitely keep that on your radar because that kind of stuff ends up being extremely fulfilling. It's that like, there's always that one thing you wish you did and that you can still do. And you got to just grab onto it at some point.
Sure. That's and, awesome that, and you nailed know. It, dude. When you said it's that thing you wish you could do, I like to tell that to like Kevin Smith is one of my favorite people on the planet. I'm not even a big movie guy. I only watched Clerks and Mallrats for the first time last year.
Really?
Thought they were both dope. I just like Kevin Smith. He just seems like a cool dude. And if you look it up, he's got a thing on YouTube. He was doing like a Q&A and he gave a speech about why not. And he's like, the world is full of why. And he's like, when you say you want to do something, people are like, why? Like, why would you want to do that? And he's like, don't be a why, be a why not. He's like, when you're like, oh, I want to write a book or start a podcast or make a film or whatever. And he's like, instead of being like, why? Be like, why not? Let's do it. Why not? Like, let's have some fun. Who cares? And that speech really spoke to me. And I believe that. It doesn't matter if you want to write or try stand up or learn an instrument or whatever it is. Like, fucking why not? Absolutely. The only thing stopping most people is fear of rejection or fear of failure. And once you stop caring what the world thinks of you, then that doesn't matter anymore. And why do you care what people fucking think?
Right.
It's better to fail, but at least be able to say you tried than just live a life that's mediocre and go, oh, I never even tried the one thing I wanted to.
Exactly, dude. The people that hate and are like, oh, your book sucks, or your podcast sucks, or your movie sucks, or whatever. Like, what have they ever done?
Yeah.
You know, most people think the scariest thing about being a comedian is like, how do you get up there in front of all those people? And I'm like, that's the least scary thing to me. Cause I'm like, 99% of the people in the audience don't have the balls to get up here and do this. So what the fuck do I care what they think?
Yeah. What would scare me is being the guy that just ends up riding the forklift for 30 years, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's what's scary to me. Like that's terrifying. Same fucking thing every day for your whole life.
Exactly. I'm like, before I know it, I'm 60 and all I've done is driven. And like, I'm not dunking on any forklift drivers out there. I love you guys. I'm a forklift guy. I get it. But I'm like, that's been a thought of mine most of my life is I'm like, I don't know when I'm going to die. I don't want to go out just going through the motions. I want to just try everything I can, just do stuff. And who cares what the rest of the world thinks? Yeah, I don't know anybody an explanation.
You're right. Well, you're already doing a ton of stuff. I will say I recommend this book to like everybody, but whenever you start thinking about like doing something else and like, you know, maybe trying writing again.
Yeah.
Check out the book The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron, if you haven't heard of that already.
No, I haven't. I'll write that down though.
Yeah.
What is it? The Artist's Way?
Yeah, Julia Cameron.
Artist. I keep a note of books I want to read in my phone here.
Nice. Yeah, I read that, and that's what got me to dive into like taking writing seriously for the first time and be consistent with it. That was like, it was a miracle. So yeah, throwing that out there for you.
Have you guys ever read the art of, or the, is it the War of Art?
Yeah.
I don't remember the name of the great book.
I read that right after I read The Artist's Way. I feel like it's sort of like a male perspective of The Artist's Way.
Okay. Yeah. I'll check it out for sure then.
The Artist's Way actually has like a 12-week self course in it though too.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'll check it out. That sounds very fascinating. Thanks for the suggestion.
Yeah. All right. Well, as we wind down our last thing of the day,
The last thing was the last thing of the day.
No, this is the last thing within the last topic.
Oh, good Lord.
Growing up for me, I never really understood when people wanted to play video games that didn't have a story to them. I don't know if you feel the same way, but like one of my brothers always only played sports games, and the other one like only played RPGs. And I always ended up watching my other brother play a lot more. And as an adult, I realized that I have a fixation with the idea of a story, even if it's in like poetry for me, sure. You know, whether it's purely for entertainment or escapism or to press and something important. So, yeah, and that's my segue into asking you what video game makes you think of a specific book or vice versa.
I agree with you on this. Like, listen, like Mario's my favorite franchise, and there's no story there. Like the story is like, yeah. I'm like, they're fun. I don't care what the story is. But when it comes to stuff like RPGs, I agree. I need a good story or I'm checking out. I can't do it. I know that you mentioned that this was like the final thing. And truth be told, I've been like stressing about this a bit because I'm like, I read a lot of true crime books and I'm like, I've never played a game that relates to this. I read a lot of autobiographies and I'm like, I don't really know. But my favorite book of all time, and I only read it for the first time about 3 years ago, is The Stand by Stephen King. That is my absolute favorite book. I was captivated. And I don't mean to sound like an idiot to anyone out there that reads, like, that's a big book. Like that is a lot yeah. of words. That is an undertaking of a book, but I've read through the whole thing twice in the last 2 years. And then I watched the new series, and the new series sucked. It wasn't nearly as good as the book. The book is fire. So it's kind of a crappy answer and I apologize, but I'm fascinated by like post-apocalyptic stuff. The idea that like 99% of the world is fucked. And the people that are left are rebuilding civilization, and it's good. It's that good versus evil standoff that I find just fascinating as all hell. So it actually, have either of you played Fallout 3?
I was going to say Fallout sounds like what you're just,
that's deciding. Exactly what it is. I was like, I went from thinking Fallout was fun because I could just go around and take everything I could find and kill everybody, to kind of replaying it and looking at it somewhat from the standpoint of The Stand, of being like, there are good people in this world and there are bad people in this world. And just as I've gotten older as a human being, I've realized there are good and bad people in this world. And I would like to think that if the world ever came crashing down and most of us were dead, the few that were left would work together to try to. But I'm like, now I've learned that that's just not.
That might be the Canadian in you thinking that.
Maybe that's what it is. Yeah, maybe that's what it is. Because I'm like, clearly that's not how society would work. So I hope it's like a not a dumb answer, but I would like, The Stand is my favorite book, and I relate it to the Fallout series a lot.
No, that's a good answer.
There are good people in Fallout, and then there are just deplorable people in Fallout. And The Stand was, have you guys read The Stand?
Yeah,
I haven't read it yet.
I read it once, probably like four years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was
it's a heavy book, like, man.
Yeah. Like you said, an undertaking.
Yeah, it is. Sure, fuck is it ever though? Oh my god!
Did you read the unabridged version or the?
I was gonna say, I know there's a longer version.
Yeah,
I don't know. I think it was the longer version, but I don't quote me on that. I think it was. Yeah. One of my listeners actually was the one that turned me onto it, and got me reading it. I'm almost sure it was the longer version. And like honestly, some of the like religious undertones to it kind of lost me, because I'm not a very, no offense if you're religious, that's cool, but like I'm not a very religious person. But at the end of the day, it's good versus evil in this.
Yeah.
And then that's, I'm like, I think like I'm a huge pro wrestling fan, And people mock pro wrestling, but at the end of the day, pro wrestling is a story of good versus bad, heroes versus villains. That's everything. Like 90% of work is of works of art is good versus evil, right? So
yeah,
I love that kind of stuff.
That's why Harry Potter is so successful. That's why Star Wars is so successful. Yeah. Just those polarizations are something that everyone can take a bite out of.
Yeah. They're absolutely
very palatable.
Yeah.
And relevant. Yeah. So no, that was a good answer, dude.
I don't know if I was nervous. I was nervous.
I don't know if I would have put not discrediting you. I never would have thought to put Fallout with the Stand, but that's a good answer.
Yeah.
Thank you. Phew. I was like, fuck. I was like, I mean, I love Travis Barker's autobiography and he's a drummer, so Rock Band, maybe. I was like trying to come up with one that worked, but yeah, okay, good. All right.
Yeah, and I'm having there's so many, since I've been doing this, there's so many games that I want to go back to, and I just don't have the fucking time. Like,
I feel that, you.
That's why we only put main episodes out every other week. Because it's so hard to get through, especially a game like Fallout, man. If I was to actually do it for the podcast, that would take months.
Yeah, I know I have an episode on Mass Effect 3 coming up, and I love Mass Effect, but I'm like, fuck, that is going to be, that's my biggest problem now. We're at 288 episodes as of this recording on your show, and we've basically covered all the games from my childhood. Mm-hmm. So now it's playing a game a week, and that is turning into a big undertaking. It's a lot.
See, we have the luxury of still covering a lot of retro games, so you could play through a lot of those, most of those anyway, fairly quickly. But once we get into modern, or even like Sea of Stars or something, I'm still in the middle of it. It's like, God damn, I've been playing this for like a month.
I joke that I'm like, it's my job to play video games, and I can't keep up with everything. Like, it's just impossible these days. It's not like in the NES era where a game was an hour long and you played it your whole childhood. Like, now it's every game is an undertaking now. It's wild. Like,
brag about the, you know, how many hours it takes to beat. We have 400 hours of gameplay. It's like, why?
I know.
I'm an adult.
Burns my ass. Like, stop. Like, we don't need dude. Give me a really good 10-hour game.
Yeah.
And I will blow smoke up your ass for decades. Like, give me nice 10 hours. I beat it in a week. Perfect. That's what I'm talking about.
Got one for you, and I'll tell you after we sign off here.
Wait, I got one more question. I'm going to use my powers of co-host. This is a quick one.
Go ahead.
Shoot.
Because since you cover so many retro games, I wanted your answer to this, your opinion. Where, like, year-wise, what would your cutoff for something to be considered retro? Because it's weird since we're in like 2024. Now people are like, oh, you know, a game that came out in 2004 is not retro. It's 20 years old.
It's fucking old. It's retro. So for sure, to me, it's not so much a year as it is like generations, like console generations. And to me, 1,000,000,000% without hesitation, the PS2, GameCube, Xbox, Sega Dreamcast era and back
retro,
are retro. Once the PS5 and Xbox Series X and S kind of took off, I was like, as far as I'm concerned, the PS3 and the Xbox 360 are creeping into the retro. They're like in their early 60s. Maybe they're not quite retired yet, but they're on the cusp. And the reason I started doing that was like, I fought that. And then I realized, like, dude, if you're 25 right now, then you were born in 1999. Then the PS2, GameCube, Xbox, and the Xbox 360 and PS3 and the Wii, those were your NES, Super Nintendo, and Genesis.
Scary.
Right? It is scary.
Old as fuck.
Like, in the year 2000, would you have said that the original Nintendo was retro?
Yeah, I would.
It was 15 years old. So by that logic, anything that came out in 2009 is retro today. So I try to accommodate some of our younger listeners that maybe didn't play NES and Super Nintendo and Genesis, but they're like, dude, I get so many messages where they're like, my childhood was the PS2. And I'm like, fuck, I was out of high school when the fucking PS2 came out. But I'm like, you're right. It's to me, it's what you grew up playing is retro. And so, like, I'm like, people, there are adults now that grew up playing the PS2 in them. So I'm like, to me, that is retro. If that makes sense.
I agree.
It's all subjective, but
it's hard to accept, but it makes sense.
Yeah, dude, I'm fucking 40. It's fuck. I've been out of high school longer than the age I was when I graduated high school. And I struggle with that on a daily basis. I'm like, I'm gross. I'm retro. I'm fucking retro.
I'm so disgusting. Yeah. Don't look at me.
Gross.
Well, are we okay to sign off, guys?
I think so.
All right.
Thanks for having me, you guys. This was a lot of fun.
Thank you for being here. It like again, it was an honor. It's so much fun. Everybody check out Remember the Game if you haven't already. I know half of you listening are probably already know about Remember the Game, but
just in case. And let me just say, you guys are legitimate, like you know, because obviously you guys are passionate about writing. This is the only time I've ever been invited to come onto a podcast via a letter. Like not an email, not a DM on social media, not like come by my stream. It was a snail mail piece of paper with ink on it letter.
Well, and, you know what?
It was legit. I liked it. It was awesome.
I think, thank you. I think I followed your own advice. I think I sent you an email at first and I think it got buried under your stuff.
Probably.
And I was like, I totally understand. So, so I was like, you know what, Adam, I remember Adam saying when he's like looking for comedy shows, he emails and he emails and he emails. So I was like, you know what, I'm going to send a letter because I care and I really like his show and it would be amazing to have him on here.
It was awesome. I as soon as I read it, I'm like, I'm going on this fucking show. This guy fucking wrote a letter for fuck's sake.
I didn't get to read that. Did it come with like a spritz of cologne and a lock of his hair, his beard hair?
Just some dick pics, just Polaroids. It was wild. But
classy.
Tell anybody about those.
Yeah. No, I don't get very many offers to go on other people's shows. I get a couple. And I always tell people like I like, doesn't matter if it's me or you guys or anyone. I'm like, dude, never hesitate to reach out to someone to come onto your show. Worst case, they just won't write back. Who cares? Yeah. Like, you never know. You never know who will say, you know, fuck it. Take a shot. So
yeah.
Thank you for having me. This was a lot of fun.
Thanks for coming on.
Thank you. Did you want to plug anything or do you want to plug anything or where can people find you?
If you guys are interested, basically what I just did is, what I do on my show, I swear a lot. There's a lot more Simpsons references than there was on this podcast.
I was a little disturbed by the lack of Simpsons. No, his lack or anything.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, I'm choking on my own rage here. I don't mean to do. I love the Simpsons. I love the Ninja Turtles. I love video games and I love pro wrestling. And I don't like talking politics. So as long as you can handle a little bit of profanity and those things interest you, Remember the Game. It's on all the podcast services and stuff. And tell me that these guys sent you. It won't get you anything. But tell me that Arcade Bookshop sent you. That'd be pretty cool.
And he also has a bunch of other Patreon episodes like Expansion Pass and Game Patch, which are my favorite thing to listen to on the weekends.
Thanks,
man. So, And they're, you're good at talking by yourself, too. It's incredible. I can't do it. but if we didn't bore you, Adam, I'd like to have you back on for like some of our regular episodes to talk about games or books.
Absolutely. Yeah. Just send me another letter and just stay in touch. I do a podcast Monday through Friday and then I do Moonlight as a stand-up comedian on the weekends. So my schedule can be a little hairy, but reach out and I'm sure we can set something up for sure. I jerked you guys around for about a month to make this happen. So just be prepared for me to jerk you around again and I'm sure we'll make it work.
That sounds good to me.
I'm awesome. Fine with a little jerking. Sometimes I like it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, a little bit.
Always a little bit. Well, thank you again for being here. Thank you, everybody, for listening to Arcade Bookshop. As always, you should probably do as we do. Keep a controller in one hand and your book in the other.
I like that.
I don't know. I just do that because it's awkward. I don't know what to do.